At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Asbury Methodist Village and Montgomery County take senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit Asbury Methodist Village. Village.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From Dynasty to Prospects to Redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 166 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We are kicking off our Dynasty and Prospect Ranking Series today. This will be going on for the next few weeks, doing two per week, starting with the actually pretty fun catcher position today. And with me to break it all down is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, you ready to talk some catchers?
Yeah, I am. It's a better position than we've had in recent years. It's slowly getting better, and as these prospects come up, I do expect the position will just continue to get better. So it is a position on the rise, I think, for fantasy purposes, and we're getting now to the point where, you know, you can feel comfortable waiting a bit on catcher in the Dynasty League especially, which has not been the case in the past. So it's not the cold position that it once was. It is freezing here in South Carolina. I know I said it was cold the other day. We're looking at a high of like degrees this weekend, which is just brutal. Like, that's not South Carolina at all.
Right. Yeah, it's actually been like pretty okay here. I mean, it got cold for a little bit, but it's kind of been like hanging out in the mid to upper 30s. We did get our first bigger, you know, snowfall of the year. We had a couple like minor little flurries a couple weeks ago, but first time this actually, you know, snowed and stayed on the ground for more than an hour. So it winter's here, that's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Actually, technically, when you're listening, doesn't winter technically start, well, today on the 21st when they're listening to this, or is it 22nd?
It is the 21st.
Yeah, so okay.
First day of winter will be as you're listening. So happy winter, everyone.
And this is also the winter, what are they, the winter equinox, or no, winter solstice? Shortest day of the year?
Yeah,
or
that's right.
Maybe that's tomorrow. I don't know. Somewhere around here. All I know is that it gets dark at like 4:15, and I have to put my headlights on coming home from work, and I don't like that. So, but yeah, as Chris said, you know, this position is a lot more fun than it used to be. I used to dread, you know, ranking and writing and talking about this position, but now it's actually really fun. It is more fun than it was, you know, a couple of years ago, and it's probably more fun than first base even, especially at the prospect level. But before we get into all of our rankings and discussion here, the usual housekeeping. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. And our show is at FanTrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us and our YouTube channel for plenty of video throughout the season. And of course, check out all the other great stuff that FanTrax and FanTrax HQ have to offer. 2023 best ball leagues are already open, and we have plenty of great content on HQ for whatever fantasy sports you are into. All right, let's start over on the prospect side of things here. We'll probably do like prospect talk first half of the show in more of a general dynasty on the second half, try to break it up a little bit. So let's start with our prospect rankings here, Chris, which I just realized we didn't put on the sheet here. Whoops. But we have them right here ready anyway. But this position for catcher, very good, even in the minor leagues here. A lot of fun young talent. So my top, let's go top 10 here. My top 10 catching prospects who are all inside my top 100 overall, which is kind of weird to say. Andy Rodriguez, Francisco Alvarez, Austin Wells, Harry Ford, Logan Ohapi, Tyler Soderstrom, Bo Naylor, Diego Cartea, Henry Davis, and Kevin Parada. Who are your top 10 catching prospects, Chris?
Okay, yeah. This is a fun group of, I'm trying to figure out why it filtered weird on my sheet. Francisco Alvarez is not appearing, but I have it Francisco Alvarez, Andy Rodriguez, Austin Wells, Tyler Soderstrom, Diego Cartaya, Harry Ford, Bo Naylor, Logan Ohapi, Kevin Parada, and Henry Davis. I think that was 10.
Yeah, I think so. That sounded like 10. So I guess right at the top, I think, you know, the top two, I think are pretty, well, maybe that's not cut and dry at this point. I think for most people, they still go Alvarez at one. And I put out a lot of polls from our Toolshed account discussing a lot of catcher-related prospect and dynasty questions. And one of them was pick one long term for dynasty between Endy and Alvarez. And but little under two thirds, 63% right now go for Alvarez, 37 for Endy. And, you know, Chris has Alvarez one. I have Endy one. I don't, we're splitting hairs. Like they're both very talented, you know, whichever one you pick, they're both very talented bats. So what puts Alvarez ahead of Endy for you? And how close are they in your overall rankings?
They're not far off, a couple spots. So I went really high on Endy. And then when my published update goes out, he's at one point, like in the draft, I had him at like 22, which it just felt a little high when it comes down to it, just based on who else is around him. So the reason I am going with Francisco Alvarez a little higher is I just do trust the power a little bit more. And you look and he hits the ball, you know, extremely hard. And like to the level of like you think of Tristan Casas and like Eli De La Cruz, like that's how hard Francisco Alvarez hits the ball. And yes, I think there's some swing and miss concerns a bit, like his contact, like who knows what kind of batting average that we'll get from him. And so it's kind of the trade off between him and Endy as far as what you get out of him. As I'm a little more comfortable with Alvarez's power and Indy's batting average. So Endy does make elite contact, much better than Alvarez, that is. And the power, I'm questioning a bit. I know we saw the home runs last year, but he doesn't hit the ball quite as hard. And, you know, there's no denying what Francisco Alvarez can do from a power standpoint. And I am wondering a bit if Endy, because Endy's power came from the poolside pretty much exclusively. Like that's, he really gets that poolside power. And I'm not sitting here saying like, I don't think he's going to hit for power, but it's just almost the trade-off of the value you get at catcher from getting that power. And versus I'll take a hit and batting average with Alvarez. But again, splitting hairs because they do kind of different things. But at the end of the day, like I just lean Alvarez in a close battle because of the power ultimately.
Yeah. No, there's no denying that Alvarez has him in raw power and we'll have him in game power too. For me, I just feel a little safer. I've seen Alvarez and while he never ran super high K rates, you know, they weren't great, but they weren't like bad either. So that might sound a little weird to hear this, but he just was very aggressive in my live looks. And that I kind of like watched another video of him throughout the year, and that seemed to be the case. And I don't think he's going to like, you know, hit 230 or anything, but I do think Alvarez is more like a 260-ish guy. Well, I think Endy is 280 to 290. I think he's proven that. The bat, like Chris mentioned, is elite. And while I do think Alvarez will have the advantage in power, I don't know if it's going to be like the game power is going to be like a huge difference. Like, I think Alvarez probably like 25-ish home runs. And I think Endy could still get up to like 18, 19. So I just feel a little bit safer. I feel like there won't be as many peaks and valleys with Endy. But the thing is, like, obviously the Mets lineup around Alvarez is very good. Pittsburgh, well, you got a couple of guys, well, depending if they trade Reynolds. But, you know, you got to see what the lineup looks like around him. And that's why when we get to the dynasty side of this, I still have Alvarez ahead of my dynasty. And people ask, well, how can you do that when you have Endy ahead and prospect? It's because proximity and immediate impact factor in more. Alvarez is probably up on opening day. And Endy, you know, they just signed, but who they just bring in? It was Austin Hedges. No.
Yeah.
Austin Hedges, which still was a head scratcher. But like, when does that move Endy's debut to? And Pittsburgh's never really been one that pushes their prospects. Like, there's a lot of times where it's like full year or, you know, full seasons at one level. So I could see him not being up till July or August. You know, maybe he could force his hand earlier, but that's why I still have. And overall, they're like five spots apart in my dynasty rank or something like that. So, yeah. So I'll go Endy here. But again, I think they're both obviously very, very good and are going to be, you know, great, maybe, you know, top 10 fantasy assets at this position long term here. After that, though, like, I think for most people, that's 1-2, whether you have Endy or Alvarez. It's pretty much 1-2 for most people. Then you got like this pretty sizable cluster of a lot of other fun names. You know, like, for instance, I think really the next four, I'll say five or six, probably the next six, actually. You know, I have it Wells, Ford, Ohapi, Soderstrom, Naylor, Cartea, but I could see that being moved any which way. And there's some questions there on who's going to stay at the position. You know, Ford could move off. You know, Ohapi's going to stick. Naylor probably sticks. Cartea probably sticks, but Ford, Wells, and Soderstrom could move up. I think the biggest, you know, chance of moving off is Soderstrom. I think he's first baseman long term. They got Shea there, much better all around catcher, especially on defensive side of things. And Soderstrom, I mean, I like the bat. Don't get me wrong. I think there's 30 home run power there in a neutral park, but how much does Oakland limit him? And who knows when they move out of Oakland to Vegas or wherever. But for now, he'll be, you know, not this year, but probably 2024 ETA. He'll be in Oakland in that spacious park with a crap lineup around him where the best hitter in it is probably Estere Ruiz or Seth Brown, which shows you all you need to know about that Oakland lineup. So I think he's going to be a guy that struggles to hit like 250. The approach is kind of turning the wrong way. And I think he's just going to be limited by the environment and the lineup around him. So while I like the bat in general, I don't trust Oakland and I don't like what he's going to be, you know, the situation he's going to be getting into. So he's still about top 60, top 70-ish for me, but he's been kind of slowly trickling down. So he might be one to sell right here.
Yeah, it's possible. It's kind of interesting just looking at the landscape of what they're doing out there.
What are they doing out there in Oakland?
I'm not sure they know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a question mark, but I think he is a first baseman through and through.
Yeah.
Soderstrom, that is. So you can pretty much count on that. And I feel like Shea Langeliers is the guy. So, yeah, I think Soderstrom does a lot of things well. And I think he could be a solid first baseman, but there's other better first basemen to invest in, obviously.
For sure. And this is another poll I put up on our Twitter account. And we'll be doing this for every show, too. So you want to hop in and, you know, comment or just vote. We'll be doing a lot of these polls for every position so we can get some, you know, user interaction as well, some listener interaction. And so this one I asked, after Endy and Alvarez, who's the best catching prospect for fantasy? The options were Wells, Soderstrom, Ford, and Ohapi. I had to limit it to four because Twitter sucks like that. Wish I could do six options here, but pretty close. Ford had 34% right as of right now. Ohapi 31.5%. Wells around 20, and Soderstrom around 14.5. So he was last out of these four. You know, Ford is, you know, a really interesting one because I think out of this like next grouping, I think either you could say probably Ford or Wells has the highest upside. You think that's fair, Chris?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, there's a lot of fun names in that group. And man, Wells in Yankee Stadium, gotta love that.
Yeah.
Ford has an interesting blend of power, speed, and hit. He's small. That's my only worry. Like, he's a smaller guy and a pretty compact frame. Not sure, you know, how much more he has to add to it. But yeah, both those guys have pretty good upside, I'd say. I think both can make pretty big jumps this season.
Yeah, and I think there's a notion going around that Wells is going to move off. And I think he could, but it's not like Yankees have, like they're a catcher of the future. Like, there's nobody that profiles better overall. Like, there's probably some better defenders in their system, but it's not like they have, like, you know, a Will Smith or an Adley Rutschman or something like that in their system. So I think Wells could stick a catcher, at least early on. We'll see how he develops down the road and how the body looks, but the bat is legit, man. Like, I think, you know, 265, 270 type of hitter. I think 30 plus home runs are possible with his left-handed power in Yankee Stadium. And he's a guy that can add a little bit of speed to it. Do I think he's going to continue to steal 20 a season? No. But this is a guy that at least has a speed element. I think he could add, you know, flirt with double digits early in his career. And he's a very smart bat. I don't think he's been caught yet in the minor leagues. So very smart base runner. He's shown the willingness to run, has some decent enough speed and athleticism where he could be like a guy that I won't be surprised if we saw 30-10 here out of him. I think that's definitely a possibility in that stadium with a good lineup around him. So I think Wells is actually, he's my number three. I think he's closer to Alvarez and Endy than I think a lot of people want to talk about. You know, like, I don't think there's a huge gap there. I love Austin Wells.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'd say he's got a pretty well-rounded profile where it doesn't chase that often, makes really good zone contact, and hits the ball hard. So all those things you want to see, and I think there's some sneaky speed in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much he will run at the big league level, but he's certainly doing it now. And his batted ball distribution is really good. And we're looking at like a sweet spot percentage of like batted balls, like, you know, line drives and healthy fly balls at that is really good. And it's only going to play up at Yankee Stadium, especially as a left-handed hitter. So like to see that a lot.
For sure. Yeah. And Hoppy, he might be like the least sexy name here, but man, I think he's probably the safest of this bunch, I would say. He's definitely safer than Soderstrom. Yeah, probably safer than, definitely safer than Ford, and probably safer than Wells too. Not by much, but we talked about him, like the blend of contact, approach, power. He's probably going to start an opening day unless the Angels do something stupid, which they, you know, obviously could. But yeah, Ohapi is absolutely legit. Like, if people, you know, if you can still get him for any reasonable price, like, I think he's a great target that won't cost you. Like, you know, the price has gone up and the price is going to be up there now, but it's not like you can get him for a lot less than you can get, like, you know, even a Wells or an Alvarez or Endy. So I love Ohapi. I think he's going to be very, very good for a long time and probably very underrated for a long time too.
Yeah, especially in that Angels org, you know, he's just probably going to be, you know, undervalued. I think the trade was good. It probably benefited him a lot, but especially with, you know, Philly having a real Muto. So they traded out a position of depth and got a, you know, good bat in return in Brandon Marsh. So I think Ohapi's going to be solid. I think he'll be one of those guys you can probably continually get later than he should go in fantasy drafts. Like, but he'll be a solid contributor across the board.
For sure. Couldn't agree more. What are your thoughts on like Henry Davis now? Because I, you know, we saw him out in the AFL. You know, I saw him earlier in the year too. And, you know, he didn't look bad, but I don't know. I just.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think there's a solid catcher. I think he's going to be, you know, a solid all-around catcher, but I don't think he's going to be anywhere close, I think, what people thought he could be after he was taken number one overall. I don't see as high of an impact offensively for him as I do with, like, the guys we just talked about. So, you know, Davis is, he's still top 100 for me, but he's, you know, in the back end of it. He's currently 88 right now in my rankings. So he could realistically fall out if he doesn't have a, you know, decent start to the year, struggles a little bit. I could see him falling out of my top 100 and getting passed by a couple of names below him on this list that we haven't got to yet. But where are you at on Davis right now, Chris?
He's an interesting one because I thought he looked pretty bad across the board in the AFL, which it was pretty disappointing, you know, especially the glove and the arm are supposed to be solid. And I didn't really see, and again, I'm not going to sit here and form a concrete opinion based on three games,
right?
But you certainly wanted to see more out of him than we saw. The jump to Double A last year, I mean, he struggled, like, to say the least, and his high A batting average was super inflated by a high BABIP. I mean, he ran a 383 BABIP across 100 plate appearances, and that's just not who he's going to be. So, I don't know. I think there's a middle ground between the two where I think we're looking at someone that is probably still a below average hitter. Like, I mean, he's interesting, but I'm not sure he becomes what people think he could. So I think he might be somebody I'm looking to trade this offseason. And I think you can probably get a decent return, probably still a good return because there's some name value. He was, you know, the first overall pick just, you know, one summer ago. So from that standpoint, you can probably get something good, but he may be one that drops pretty significantly, like you said. So that's a possibility. He's outside my top 100, just barely at this point, but he's definitely somebody I'm looking to trade at the moment.
Yeah. So from this top 10, I'd say the two I'd be looking to trade right now are Davis and Soderstrom. And the two I'd be trying to acquire given, you know, value to, you know, perceived value, actual value, and the value there probably would be Wells and, you know, I think Parada's going to be a nice, you know, riser this year too. So I think Parada could, he's a very solid bat, like both in terms of, you know, hitting for average, getting on base, I think for power. I want to see how that works out. Maybe they split time, him and Alvarez, and the other one DHs, so they get their bats in the lineup full time. But I think Parada and even Ohapi too. There's a lot of good buys right now. But yeah, my two sells would be Davis and Soderstrom personally.
Yeah, I'm not quite there selling Soderstrom yet. But you know, the crazy one, I might look to deal Indy Rodriguez just because the hype. I think that.
How dare you?
Look, I've been on the train for a while, but it's the dynasty game's a stock market game.
Yeah.
So I think you can probably cash out, and yeah, his value might be peak at this point. So, and I think Indy's still gonna be a solid player, but if you're gonna get a top 20 prospect in return or a top 100 dynasty asset, I'd probably make the trade.
No, I can see that. Yeah, you and I have been pretty high on Indy for a while now. He's been a personal favorite of this podcast, that's for sure.
Yep. Since last offseason.
Yep. Love ND. All right. Next 10 here, and then we'll hit the break and go over to the dynasty side of it, talk a little more with the major league guys. My 11 through 20 here. Oh, let me get back over on the right sheet here. Edgar Cuero, Yainer Diaz, Dalton Rushing, Moises Ballesteros, Hunter Goodman, Jefferson Cuero, a couple Cueros there, Daniel Suzak, Drew Romo, Bryant Betancourt, and Sandro Gastone. What are your 11 through 20, Chris?
All right. I got Edgar Cuero, Dalton Rushing, Joe Mack, Carter Jensen, Drew Romo, Daniel Susak, Samuel Basalo, Moises Ballesteros, Ivan Herrera, and Jefferson Cuero.
Did Diaz graduate? He didn't graduate, did he? Did you say Diaz in there?
Who?
Yainer Diaz. Did you have him top 10 tonight?
Yeah, you know what I bet happened? He's probably filtering on my sheet as UT only because.
Oh, yeah.
Got the player.
Yeah, him and Alvarez being UT only for, I think that's probably it.
So, yeah, he would be, let me just, because I'm looking at the player pool and he is UT. So I'm going to go back and look at that again and see where he pulls in because he's probably 11, if we're being honest.
Probably, yeah, he's right in that range.
He is actually. He's 11 right ahead of Edgar Cuero. So,
okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that was just. My sheet did the same thing with Francisco Alvarez, and I called it earlier. I didn't catch the Diaz one.
Damn, utility only. I hate that. I wish they'd just give him catcher. I mean, they're going to be catcher. I don't know why, but
right. Anyway. Sorry they came up so late.
I know, right? They didn't have time to get 20 or 10 or whatever your league's threshold is, but this is, you know, obviously the talent level isn't quite as high here, but still a lot of fun names. Like Edgar Cuero, right off the bat, like he made my, you know, little foreshadowing, he made my top 25. Like I did my video over on our YouTube channel doing my top 25 dynasty rankings, and he was right at 25. So the first name I talked about in that video, now he's a name where, you know, a lot of the, you know, a good, probably at least half of the names ahead of him probably graduate this coming year at some point. So I think there's a strong chance you could see Ed Cuero at like number 5 overall for catching prospects. He had a great year this past year in the low A California league, and take it with a grain of salt. This is a the most hitter friendly minor league, even ahead of the PCL by a little bit. PCL was too, but in terms of runs per game, but still like these were impressive any way you slice it. 312, 435, 530 slash line, 35 doubles, 7 home runs, 12 steals in 111 games played. Walked 73 times compared to only 91 strikeouts. That's a 14.2% walk rate and a 17.7% K rate. So a lot of good there. What are your thoughts on Cuero, Chris? Do you think the rise for him continues here in 2023?
Yeah, I mean, he's so young. Just looking at what he did across the board, I think was pretty impressive. Switch hitter, you really like to see what he can do at both sides of the plate as well. Hits the ball hard, you know, makes really good contact as well, and he doesn't chase often. So there's a lot of the combo of skills that you want to see in this profile. And you're right, I think that he's probably just scratching the surface. And if he continues even just doing what he did last year, then he's really going to make a big jump this year. I think top 5 is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, because you look at it, so he's my 11 and he's your 12. So look at the names ahead. You know, even, you know, Diaz, they're basically neck and neck. So Diaz, we got to assume graduates. Parada won't. Davis probably doesn't. Cartea, no. Naylor probably does. Soderstrom, no. Ohapi, yes. Ford, no. Wells, maybe? I think he's a chance he does. Alvarez, yes. And SS, 5. Wells could be the 6. So, yeah, about half of the guys ahead of him will graduate. And, you know, I think there's a chance that he could, you know, even pass up a Parada. I think he definitely, the way things are trending, probably passes up Henry Davis. Could pass up Cartea or, you know, a Soderstrom. So, yeah, I think that, you know, Dark Horse could be number 1 catching prospect in a year. Like, I wouldn't completely rule that out. Maybe not ahead of Harry Ford, but could be top 3 even. You know, a lot of good skills there. Still very young. So definitely trying to get Cuero everywhere I can. You know, the other one that, you know, probably has maybe the most hype, you know, maybe not more than Andy or Alves, but one of the most hyped up catcher names right now in the prospect world is Dalton Rushing. You know, second round draft pick by the Dodgers this past year. And obviously, you know, you get the Dodger tax right away. But how he performed after the draft was absolutely phenomenal. It was just 30 games, but 134 plate appearances between, well, most of that was in low A, Rancho Cucamonga. 404, 522, 740 slash line, 11 doubles, 8 home runs, and exactly as many walks as strikeouts, 22 of each. So I've seen him pushed way high in catcher rankings and dynasty rankings, no prospect rankings or Dodger rankings. So I think the bat is legit, but, you know, kind of a similar thing you're saying with Andy. Do you think, given the hype right now, and he kind of falls into one of those, you know, ideal sell high times that we talk about, you know, player dominating right after he either A, debuts, or B, kind of debuts in the minors, you think it could be a good time to maybe sell him right now or see what you can get at least? Or are you holding because you think that this rise is going to continue?
I mean, he's not only in my teams yet because I hadn't had FYPT. So,
true. Yeah. But
do you draft him to flip him? I don't know. I think that a lot of people think that he's going to, you know, become like Will Smith did, you know, the Dodgers, Louisville catcher. So people kind of see that and think that he could be, you know, the next big thing. And it's possible it's a small sample. So that's kind of important to put in your mind that it was a small sample. But what he did, I think, could be legit, but it's certainly, you're going to have to track it closely because it could be fool's gold because it was 134 plate appearances. But he's likely to go higher than I'd like in the FYPD. I mean,
agreed. Yep.
I've got him around top. I've got him top 20, but back end. And I think he's just going to go much higher than that. So I'm likely not to have much. If I did have him and people came knocking, I'm not opposed to trading him, honestly. I think that if the season, if the 134 plate appearances did not happen, then how would we value him? If he got drafted and didn't play, like, where would he be going? Or where would he be in rankings? And so I think that is kind of the important thing to keep in mind, because a lot of craziness can happen in a 134 plate appearance sample.
Yeah, especially as a college advanced collegiate bat in the California League, which, again, I said was, you know, the most hitter friendly league overall. So what you're saying is, you know, you wouldn't be opposed to selling him if you were able to get him in FYPD, but you wouldn't be rushing to do it, right? There you
took
go.
Took me a second. No, that was good.
I'm all about the dad jokes.
That was good. I liked it.
That's one of my things.
Yeah, I really like that.
I had to put that in there. Like, that was like, you know, low hanging fruit. But yeah, I do think the bat's legit. But yeah, I think he's getting pushed up way too high for a 30 game sample size in that league as a 21 year old collegiate bat. So. Yeah, I like him, but yeah, he's gonna go way too high for me and FYPDs. That is, you know, without question. So I don't think I'll get any shares of him. I don't know if I want to try to get him just to flip him. I'm not a big, especially not with FYPDs. I'm not a big proponent of that. But one of other fun names here, another big kind of breakout name this past year that I think, you know, people haven't really fully caught up on, Hunter Goodman from the Colorado Rockies here. Look at his stats, were just absolutely bonkers this year between three levels, low A, high A, double A, combined to slash 295, 354, 572 with 33 doubles and 36 home runs and 579 plate appearances. But, you know, walk rate a little bit low, K rate a little bit high. That's working against him. But that power, you know, Colorado awaiting him. Is he someone that you're looking to target right now in Dynasty Leagues, Chris?
Possibly. He does chase a lot, and that's, I think, could be his downfall. I think still could be solid because he hits the ball so hard, it's evident by his power, but he's kind of an aggressive hitter as well. So I think that's could be a bit of a knock on him if, you know, he just doesn't make the contact that we hope he can make. And that's probably a real possibility at this point, is that he hits it hard, but it's kind of just doesn't matter because he doesn't make enough contact. And that's my concern. But on the flip side, I mean, the same concerns that we have about Hunter Goodman are the same ones we have about Francisco Alvarez with the contact and the chase. So, yeah, that's a good point to think about there. I'm not sure Francisco Alvarez does chase as much as he does, but it's a similar profile from like a hard hit standpoint and even some questionable contact as well. So. Yeah, I mean, Hunter Goodman's probably been underrated when we look at it that way.
Yeah, I think he absolutely is. And, you know, I like him definitely a lot more than Drew Romo. I think that's funny. They got three in this range, Hunter Goodman, Drew Romo, and Bryant Betancourt, another one who had a pretty solid season in the lower levels. But, yeah, Romo, I don't know. I've never really been a huge Romo guy. Didn't really buy into the hype. I mean, I think he's one of those better real-life catchers. He'll provide some value. Whether he's a starter or a backup, I don't know. That kind of remains to be seen how well the back plays. But for fantasy, I think it's absolutely Hunter Goodman out of these three, at least in this org. So, but, hey, that's a good problem to have. They got some catching options there in Colorado.
Yeah.
So.
I can't remember who the last decent catcher in Colorado was, to be honest.
You know, the first name that comes to my head, and this might not be correct, but it's one that I think of, Chris Iannetta. Chris Iannetta was, I'm going to pull him up real quick. He has been retired for like at least 5-6 years now. Let's see. He retired in 2019, not that long ago. He was with Colorado, 2006 to 2011. okay, he wasn't even that good. His best year was, I see one year he had 264, 390, 505, 18 home runs and 407 plate appearances. That was 2008 as a 25-year-old, probably his best year. He was okay. Okay, so it wasn't even that. I don't know. That's the first name I thought of.
I'm just clicking back through seasons on Baseball Reference, like Tony Walters, Nick Hundley.
Oh,
Willen Rosario, like, gosh almighty.
Oh, names I haven't thought about in a hot minute here.
No. Chris Iannetta. Yeah, Iannetta was
probably
the last
last, like, semi-decent one.
Yeah, I'm in 08, and it was Iannetta's the best one I've seen.
All right, so that's shows you how long ago that's been. And it wasn't even that good, but. And who knows? Maybe these guys won't even be better than Chris Iannetta was, but. Yeah, at least they have a shot here. At least they got some fun catching prospects in their system. But all right, let's go ahead and take a quick break here. Come back on the other side and get into our dynasty rankings. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Asbury Methodist Village and Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
All right, welcome back from the break. Heading over to the dynasty side of things here. We'll go through our top 30 dynasty catcher rankings, and it's a very fun list. Starting 1 through 10, I have Adley Rutschman, Dalton Varsho, Will Smith, JT Realmuto, Alejandro Kirk, Wilson Contreras, William Contreras, Sal Perez, Francisco Alvarez, and Andy Rodriguez. Again, the flip there because of the nearer proximity and impact for Alvarez. Who you got in your top 10, Chris?
And mine's a little more, you know, now driven. I don't think I have a single prospect in my top 10, but I go Adley, Will Smith, JT Realmuto, Dalton Varsho, Wilson Contreras, MJ Melendez, William Contreras, Sean Murphy, Salvador Perez, and then Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah, I knew I was putting the duo, you know, Alvarez and Andy a bit high, but it's funny too. With me, I had Sal Perez 8. You have him 9, you know, a few spots ahead of both Alvarez and Andy as well, just slightly shifted around.
Yeah.
I got, you know, a couple people that were like, oh, why would you rather have a 32-year-old Sal Perez? I'd much rather have a, you know, Francisco Alvarez. And I can get that, yeah. But people are acting like, you know, Sal Perez, yeah, he's 32, but he's not 36. And he's still a very good catcher. And outside of the, you know, the year he missed with the knee injury, he's been one of the more consistently good.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You know, catchy. Obviously, you know, he's not having that elite year again. Like, I think we can all agree on that. He's not going to have, 47 home runs again? But even, you know, considering that as an anomaly, he's still, like, look back over the years, it's been really, really consistent. 23 home runs last year. 254. Then we had the 2020 year, but in 2018, so he missed 2019, and he hit 35, but 27 home runs. So then 68, 27 home runs, 22 home runs, 21 home runs. He is very consistent in the power department. Career average of 268, which is where he's mostly been for the most part in the last handful of years as well. A little bit of fluctuation, but he's still a very good catcher. So I'm not ready to like bump him way down. And yeah, I could see why you'd want to go Alvarez, especially in a rebuild. I think this might come down to, are you rebuilding? Are you contending? But Alvarez is still very good. So, you know, maybe if that's the general, you know, kind of thought process regarding Perez, he might even be a solid buy right now if you're a contender.
Well, and I think that's what it comes down to, is what kind of roster construction do you have? And that should be the way we think about everything through in Dynasty, is like, it's hard to just look at things in a vacuum. And that's what people right. do. Oh, why do you have Sal Perez ahead? Because if you're looking at a 5-year window, then you're looking to lose. Like, just being right. honest, I mean, most Dynasty leagues don't last that long. And who knows what happens in 5 years? So, I mean, I just play Dynasty for the now. And, you know, while Francisco Alvarez is exciting, and then, yeah, he's got a ton of power potential. Like, if he has a season even remotely close to what Sal Perez does pretty regularly, I think we'd be happy. And yeah. that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. And that's what somebody asked me a question the other day. It was like, do you prefer Tim Anderson or Jackson Holliday? And it's a similar thing, but I was like, look, if Jackson Holliday has a season that's a peak season like we've seen from Tim Anderson, where he hits well above 300 and goes 20-20, then I think we'd be happy with that. So, and Tim Anderson's done it and does it now. So I think we sometimes think about it the wrong way. And, you know, everything should funnel through your window when it comes into Dynasty. Like, where is your contention window? And are you building to win now, or are you building for the later? It should come down to that. But ultimately, like, I play Dynasty to win now. And because of that, I prefer Sal Perez. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's not a much of a question to me at this point. Now, could Alvarez be better in 3 years? Absolutely. But if I'm playing for this, for 2023 and 2024, I'd rather have Salvador Perez.
No doubt. And I was about to say the same thing you just brought up. Like, basically, you look back at what you kind of like an average year from Sal Perez looks like. Let's look at 2017 and 2018. Back-to-back 27 home runs, 80 RBI years, hit 268, 235. That averages out to, you know, around 254 or so, somewhere in that range. So, but for his career, 268. And he's, you know, right around a mid-20s home run guy more often than not. Isn't that basically what I just said, that I think Alvarez is going to become someday? So it's basically, all right, so Sal Perez is now what we think Alvarez could be. And then, like you said, could Alvarez be more? Absolutely. He's got the upside to be more, and definitely in the OBP department. That's the one area where they differ on, you know, quite largely, is OBP. Sal Perez is a career 301 OBP guy, 292 last year. So I think OBP, you know, I can see this being a little bit closer, but yeah, Sal Perez is still very good, and he's still only 32. It's not like he's 36 or something like that. I could see, you know, making those statements if he was 36, but still only 32. He's still got, you know, I don't see him starting to fall off a cliff anytime soon, for sure. The first thing, though, I noticed when we put our rankings on the sheet, Chris, is that you had Alejandro Kirk at 10. You know, obviously, I think I know why you put him there. Is it because that you're, you know, not quite as bullish on the power potential with him?
And I mean, it's not even sure it's that, but it's the fact that he just pounds the ball into the ground. And I think that's going to limit his ultimate production. And yeah, I like him a lot, and I always have. And I think there's certainly a possibility that he could correct some of these things. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not sure he does enough with the bat for me to push him above some of these other players. Like, I mean, Sean Murphy's move to Atlanta is a substantial bump for him. And he was already going to be behind, like, Wilson and William Contreras, and probably even MJ Melendez, just based on the power potential. And so it was tough, you know, thinking about him or Perez in the 9 or 10 spot. But I just really trust Perez for more immediate production. And also, like, looking at Kirk, he really, really sputtered down the stretch. First half last year, he hit 11 home runs and hit 315. Second half, 246 with 3 home runs. So a pretty big drop off there. And I just kind of have some question marks that leads me to drop him a little bit. I flipped him straight up for Sean Murphy in a Dynasty league yesterday, and I felt pretty good about that, especially in a win now scenario. I know Murphy's a few years older than Kirk. I think it's 24 versus 28. But at the end of the day, like, I'm much more confident in Sean Murphy's production on a regular basis in Atlanta.
No, that's totally fair. And so I have Kirk at five. I think, you know, after the, you know, top four, you know, for me, it's Adley is in tier one. And then it's, you know, the combination of Will Smith, Varsho, and JT Realmuto. And then it's like this massive, like, yeah, you could probably go maybe up to seven or eight in tier three, depending on how you feel on a couple guys. But yeah, so it's hard to rank these guys. Obviously, Kirk is such a, you know, I'm not overly worried about the, you know, second half struggles, because look at these, all the approach that he's shown for so long, the contact skills that he's shown for so long, 89.5% zone contact rate, 15.4% whiff rate. Like, the dude is just so hard to, you can't fool Alejandro Kirk often. He had 10.7% K rate, more in more walks than strikeouts. Still hit 285, 278 XBA. You know, at least, you know, yeah, the ground balls are an issue. He was right at 50% on the dot this past year for his career, 48% overall. But the fact that he was lower in 2021, 40.7%, had more fly balls and line drives in that year, that gives a little bit of hope. And then the quality of contact is pretty good. He's been over 45% hard hit rate. Obviously, a lot of that's been into the ground. Average launch angle, you know, 8.1 isn't terrible. But yeah, he does have to start driving the ball more consistently in the air. Had 14 home runs last year. And do I think he's going to be 25? No. But, you know, I think he's, you know, 280, 290, maybe even have some years over 300. I think that's possible given his approach and contact skills with how hard he hits the ball. And if he can get just, you know, 18, 19, flirt with 20, maybe get a couple years in the low 20s, you know, I think that's going to be enough to keep him top five. There's a lot of other names here that I love that definitely could be, like William Contreras, for example, that may have a little more upside. But, you know, that's kind of why I had Kirk there. But he definitely has to correct that issue. But now we saw Vlad correct it. You know, it's not like, you know, a huge correction that can't happen, right? Like, we've seen it happen before. You know, is it easy? No. But yeah, I'm still confident that he can at least to get up, you know, add another five, six, seven home runs annually. I still have confidence in that. But it's a massive tier. Like I said, I love William Contreras a lot as well. But let's go back to that first tier, though. We kind of glossed over the first tier here. I saw Kirk on your ranking, so I wanted to ask you that. But, you know, obviously the first tier is very, very exciting. Or, you know, what we can group all four as the first tier. That's not like Adley's like way ahead of these other guys. But, you know, I think the most kind of controversial one here, or the most polarizing, I should say, is probably a better word to use, is Dalton Varsho. Because, you know, we know Adley's going to be a catcher for a very long time. We know Will Smith is too, and Realmuto is as well. But Varsho's the one where, is this his last year at catcher? You know, he didn't play, I think, what was it, after like middle of June or something, Carson, like that?
Carson Kelly returned on June 11th, and Varsho's last day at catcher was June 16th.
And then, you know, on the flip side, though, you know, they did have Cooper Hummel there. I don't know how many games Cooper Hummel got at catcher, but he's now in Seattle. You know, who else they have on? I'm trying to pull up their depth chart here real quick. What do they have on the roster for catcher? Ali Sanchez. Okay. We're with him. So I don't know. Do I think he's going to lose it? He's going to lose it at some point. But it's just a matter, does he lose it this year? Does he lose it 2024, 2025? I don't know. I mean, that does kind of signal that it probably is this year, but I don't know. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. And people are like, oh, why are you ranking him up that highly if he's going to lose it? Well, he's a catcher now, so we got to rank him. And he's coming off a 27 homer, 16 steal season. He probably has the highest upside of the, you know, these 2, 3, 4 with him, Smith, and JT. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? How do you value Varsho given the uncertainty around his position and the fact that he might lose it after this year?
I would say he's 100% losing it after this year. He's basically straight up said that he doesn't enjoy catching and doesn't want to catch. I think that he was catching because he kind of had to when they didn't have Carson Kelly. Right. So based on the comments from him, the coaches, and even some beat writers, I would say that he is done. Like, he's not starting another game at catcher. So I would say this is last year with it. which gives you plausible reason to sell him in Dynasty if someone hasn't been paying attention. Now, you shouldn't just sell low on him just to get rid of him. That doesn't make sense because there's still value as an outfielder. I mean, right. As you mentioned, the power speed is still good, and there's still plenty to like there. I mean, it's hard to find like a reasonable comp in the outfield, but he does take a bit of a hit with if he does lose that, because going from the like replacement level value at catcher to the replacement level value in the outfield just changes everything
right
completely. So from that standpoint, like, he probably drops from like a 50 to 60 overall ranking in the dynasty to like around 100 for me without the catcher eligibility, just to put it in perspective that that's how much value he brings to the catcher position. And you probably saying like, oh, well, you've said catchers like deeper now, excuse me. But the reality is that when you get those stolen bases from behind the plate, when nobody else is getting those stolen bases, that's what boosts his value so much. Or when you get those home runs from a catcher that no other people are getting from a catcher, then that's the replacement level value that I'm talking about with a catcher versus an outfielder. A lot of outfielders can hit home runs or steal bases, but very few catchers can, which is what makes Varsho so valuable at the catcher position. So I'm probably selling if I have any other shares of him in Dynasty League and hoping that I can get top 75 value, but I'm not selling him unless I'm getting top 75 value. I'll keep him, I'll put him in the outfield, and I'll be happy with the returns at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the question is where do you value him just in general? You know, and I think, do you think him kind of getting into the range of like, you know, in a Rosarena or like a Cedric Mullins, do you think that's unfair? I think he could. You know, maybe that's the high end of the range for him, but, you know, kind of similar profiles to, you know, a little bit different, but I think he could still be like a top, you know, 60-ish dynasty value, even without catcher eligibility. He still could be a top, well, that'd be probably top 15 to top 20 outfielder, given the power speed blend. And I do think the average could tick up a little bit, but I think there's still a good value there. But yeah, obviously this is a more valuable profile at catcher than outfield. Like, that's easy to say. So yeah, I kind of do agree that if, you know, if you're thinking about, all right, what am I doing at this position long-term, you know, you can't really factor in Varsho into those plans. So if that's why you want him and you don't really have anybody else, you know, if you have like a top prospect, like, you know, let's say you have an Ohapi or something like that, like, all right, maybe you hold on to Varsho and just, you know, he becomes an outfielder for you. But if he's like your guy and you don't really have any contingency plan right now, yeah, I think it could, you know, be beneficial to just see what you can get for offers. And you could probably get a pretty solid return for him. I still think he's thought of very highly, as he should be. He's a good player. So yeah, I definitely echo that for sure.
Yeah. You know, he comps very similarly to Tyler O'Neill, actually, when we're looking at a...
Okay, yeah, I can see that, yeah.
When you're looking at like a contact, zone contact, O-swing standpoint, very similar. And I think probably people are going to be fooled by that because they're thinking of Tyler O'Neill's 2021 season where he hit 286. Like, that's just not who Tyler O'Neill is.
No.
Like, O'Neill's more of like a 240, 250 hitter, which I think Dalton Varsho is. And O'Neill, you know, 25, 30 home runs and 15 stolen bases. Like, that's exactly who Varsho is. So I think that's probably the value range that you should look when you're thinking about an outfield. Like, when you think about a Rosarena and even Mullins, it's just like there's more batting average there that Varsho yeah. does not bring. So that's my comp if he, like, the range of where I'd put him in my rankings if he were to lose it.
Yeah, that's probably the high end with a Rosarena and Mullins. But yeah, I think like between 50 and like 60 and 100 is, I think O'Neill is kind of like right around 100 right now. So I think that's still like, he's still top 100 for sure. So I'm still a valuable player, but I think it all matters if you have a backup plan already on your roster or if you don't, and you got to think, all right, what's my catcher spot going to look like now? So I think this kind of boils down to, you know, whether you should hold on to him or try to trade him right now. A little bit, not breaking news, happened half an hour ago, but Brandon Drury just went to the Los Angeles Angels. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm curious how that infield actually like shakes out at this point. There's a lot of names. I won't say even interesting names. There's a lot of names there.
Yeah.
So the nice thing is Drury can kind of bounce all over.
Right.
I guess Luis Rengifo, who I like, is going to bump over to shortstop.
Yeah, that's what, for what it's worth, Roster Resource has Drury at second, Rengifo at short, you know, and then Rendon at third, Walsh at first in the platoon. But they have it platooning with Urshela. I don't know. I don't know where Urshela fits now. Or I don't know. But this is a fun, if that team can stay healthy, which is obviously a monumental if, it's actually a pretty fun lineup. It could be.
Yeah, it definitely has the potential if all works out. I mean, and it's, they have depth, which they haven't had before. Like, that's always been their struggle. It's like, okay, like if Trout or Rendon go down, like they just didn't have anybody else. But kind of from top to bottom, it's semi-interesting to me, just even looking like, I think Jared Walsh is kind of done at this point. Yeah. But like, even if you sub in Urshela there, I mean, if you have Drury and Urshela Walsh platoon plus Ohapi is the bottom three, like that's better than a lot of teams. So
yeah, you can live with that. Just if they can stay healthy and if they can get some, you know, pitching, if Detmers can step up and anybody besides Ohtani can kind of, you know, help that staff. There's still a lot of ifs in that team, but you know, could be fun. But not to get off topic here, but I was just scrolling through Twitter and saw that move go down. It was 2 years. Was it 2 years? Like 25, I think.
It was a decent chunk of change there. That's
not bad. I think Drury is a solid little player. Is he as good as he was last year? Probably not, but he's a solid player to have. That's not a bad price. But
it's important to remember Drury also just turned 30. It feels like he's been around forever.
Dude, doesn't it? Yeah.
I mean, he did debut in 2015, but man, it feels like he's been around so long. And to think about the fact that, you know, when he had that huge year last year, everybody's like, oh man, he's old, but he was just 29, so
right.
He's still got some life left in him.
Oh, for sure, for sure. All right, next kind of topic here, or player debate. So this is one I posted to Twitter. So which young catcher would you rather have as your starter in Dynasty long-term, MJ Melendez or William Contreras? Right now, it's about a 60-40 split to MJ Melendez. So Chris has them back-to-back at 6 and 7, respectively, with Melendez ahead. I have William at 7 and Melendez at 11. So could I have put Melendez ahead of the two prospects? Yeah, probably. But so I go Team William here. Chris, you know, obviously it's close for him, but Team Melendez. So what puts Melendez ahead of William Contreras?
He's going to be a massive beneficiary of the band shift, I think. I mean, just looking at, I mean, he had the largest differential in shifted and unshifted BABIP. He hits the ball extremely hard. We saw him, you know, hit 18 home runs last year in his debut season, which was solid. And I know Contreras also hit for more power. Like, Contreras did in a small sample. Like, Contreras was on a super heater, dude. Like, I'm just not expecting him to do, like, the rate stats that he did. Like, he's not going to, like, it, like, you can't just extrapolate those numbers and expect.
Right, yeah. No, absolutely not.
So, in reality, like, I'm not sure they're at the similar players because I think people are probably a little bit off on what they expect Contreras to do from a batting average standpoint. And I don't expect him to be a 278 type hitter. He ran a pretty high BABIP, which just isn't who he profiles to be. And he also hits the ball on the ground a lot, too. We have to remember, ground ball rate's extremely high with William Contreras. And so I will be intrigued because I think that if Milwaukee makes him a catcher, probably hurts his plate appearances a little bit for Contreras. While Melendez kind of plays all over, even though he gets the bulk of the time at catcher, like he's going to be one that can compile a ton of plate appearances. And I think that Melendez is probably just scratching the surface. So I ultimately think they probably hit for similar batting averages. Melendez maybe a hair lower, but I could see Melendez getting to more power, which is why I lean that way. And so, again, it's close. I like both players a lot, but I'm going to lean Melendez because I think that he makes a pretty big jump this year.
Yeah, I do agree. He's going to make a big jump. Yeah, that data you shared with me, you put it with the shift versus non-shift data, he was one of the, you know, more stark differences between the two. So I do think that we're going to see a nice, you know, boost in value for MJ Melendez this year. So good time to buy if you can in your dynasty leagues. You know they are more than, you know, one spot apart for me. You know, they're a few spots apart. But again, this range of my rankings is all very close. And, you know, I do think that Contreras is going to be, you know, primarily catcher, because the only other one they currently have on the active roster is Victor Caratini, which, you know, he's been, you know, I guess a serviceable backup for a handful of years now, but I don't think he's going to steal a ton of time. And I think they want to keep Jesse Winker at DH as much as possible. So I do think Contreras, he'll probably get 20, 25 games at DH. I'm sure this keep his bat in the lineup, you know, while Caratini takes over at catcher to give him some rest from there. But I think primarily he'll probably see 80 to, you know, ish percent of his starts come at catcher, but he's probably going to hit middle of the lineup. They both these guys will. So, it's funny. I've picked on Melendez in the past because of my bet I made with a follower of mine between Adley and MJ over the next 5 years. But MJ is a solid bat, very solid bat, adds a little bit of speed. I think he could, add a couple of steals or hit maybe 4 or 5 steals annually. We'll see. Actually, he only had 2 last year. Maybe not. But, the power is definitely there. I do think there's more power in the tank for William. I think, maybe another 5 or so home runs. And I just, in the back of my mind, I just can't get rid of that 2019 season completely out of my mind. I try, and I try again. But it's like that terrible year. And it's probably, not fair of me, but I feel a little bit safer about William Contreras. And overall, again, they're not that far off. I think they're both going to be, I think the average gap, which was about 65 points this past year, will shrink. I still give the edge to Contreras there. I think he's probably 260, 265. And I think Melendez, probably is a little bit less than that, maybe 240, 250. And I give the slight edge in power, too. So I think that's why I go Contreras. I don't think, is he going to be a, 35 homer pace bat? No. But I do think he could be, upper 20s home runs over a full year, hitting, probably cleanup or so in that Milwaukee lineup in a decent park. So I think I give him the slight edge there. Though I do want to see him trim the K rate a bit. Melendez, even though he hit for a crappy average last year, a lot of that was because of the shift. The player approach metrics for Melendez are actually pretty solid. Looks like he had the K rate was 24.5%. That's not terrible anymore. That's fine. You can get by with that. And he only had you think he would have had like a super high whiff rate. Now it was 27.8%. Chase rate was only 24%. Zone contact was 79%. Again, those aren't great, but they're not terrible either. The metrics don't back up the 213 average. That was, because of the shift. So I think the gap will close here, but I still do lean William here. But again, it's pretty close here. Yeah, Sean Murphy, we talked about him last episode, obviously. Huge, huge boost there. One that, kind of dipping into the next part of our rankings here, 11 through 20, and I guess we'll talk about those rankings in a second, but Tyler Stevenson is one that was hard to rank for me. I don't know if he was for you too, but we've seen what he can do in short spurts and the upside he has. Obviously, phenomenal park to hit in, but just can't stay healthy. So kind of where were you at with him in your rankings here? Because I see you have him 11th. I have him 13th. So he was a hard one to rank for me, though.
Yeah, he really is. And at the end of the day, it comes down to the fact that, going to be playing every day when healthy, at least. And I still like what he has to bring to the table. He's still young. I think think that he's old. He just turned 26 a couple months ago. So I think there's still room for growth in this profile. He's a really solid field to hit. Like, talk about the contact rates of Alejandro Kirk and, Tyler Stevenson's right there with him.
Yep.
And I honestly think his power is a little bit underrated. If you go look at his EVs, they're not great, but I think he's got some raw power that he can still tap into while also playing in a very, hitter friendly home ballpark. So I think it's just the factor of staying healthy for him, which makes it tough. And I don't know, I've gone back and forth on where he fits in here, and maybe he doesn't fit in ahead of Alvarez and some other prospects. But I just still think about the fact that he's here, he's playing, and knowing the value in that. He's supposed to be fully ready for spring training. We'll see. He's already swinging a bat. I have no clue, but I'll kind of bank on what I've thought he could be. And maybe that's bad of me to do, but I still like Tyler Stevenson.
I do too. I still think he's a starting caliber fantasy catcher. And how old is he now? He's still only 26. I thought he was like 28, 29. But yeah, so still young, great park. Chris mentioned, you know, the contact metrics here. You know, I think there is potential for, yeah, I don't think he's ever going to be like a 20 homer guy, but you know, maybe like 15, 16 range, especially maybe he went for over 20 in that ballpark. You know, if he gets enough plate appearances, I could totally see it given, you know, the park. But yeah, definitely, I think it's a good time to buy on Stevenson, just given the fact that he just hasn't been able to really put together that full season, and that probably dinks his value a little bit. But all right, let's move on. We're already at the hour mark here. Let's keep going with our rankings here. So let's round out the 11 through 30 here. And a couple of players left to discuss. So my 11 through 30 is MJ Melendez, Sean Murphy, Tyler Stevenson, Harry Ford, Logan Ohapi, Bo Naylor, Austin Wells, Tyler Soderstrom, Gabriel Moreno, Diego Cartaya, Yainer Diaz, Henry Davis, Cal Raleigh, Kevin Parada, Edgar Cuero, Danny Jansen, Kiber Ruiz, Shea Langeliers, Yasmani Grandal, and Dalton Rushing. What's your 11 through 30, Chris?
All right, so we go Tyler Stevenson, Francisco Alvarez. I feel like I want to change, but Logan Ohapi, Indy Rodriguez, Austin Wells, Cal Raleigh, Shea Langeliers, Bo Naylor, Diego Cartaya, Harry Ford, Gabriel Moreno, Dalton Rushing, Yainer Diaz, Kevin Parada, Tyler Soderstrom. That's a little low. I don't like that. We'll adjust there. Anyway, Yasmani Grandal, Henry Davis, Kiber Ruiz, Edgar Cuero, and Joe Mack.
Joe Mack. I love that name. It's simple, but it's like Joe Mack. It's a good baseball name, I feel. But so I think the one that I wanted to discuss here, Gabriel Moreno, I have him 19. You have him, where do you go? 21. So you're both right around 20, give or take. Now, he's another one that's like, all right, it's almost like he's like a poor man's, not a poor man's Kirk. That's not what I want to say, but it's like he's kind of similar, though, to Kirk with just less power potential, I think. So he's got more than he's shown. Like I saw him a handful of times in Double A. I mean, I think there's definitely some raw power there. Maybe it's more so average raw, but the fact that his game power has just completely disappeared, you know, even in the upper minors, not just in the major level, even in the upper minors, and in a small sample size with the Blue Jays last year, which was 73 plate appearances, he had a 55.7% ground ball rate. So, yeah, and the hard hit rate, you know, wasn't that great either, 33%. So I do think there's more power than what he's shown the last couple of years overall. And obviously the hit tool is elite. There's, you know, doesn't strike out much. That also doesn't walk a whole ton, but this is a high average guy for sure. But it's just like, where's the rest of the profile? And that makes him kind of hard to rank. And especially with all the good young talent here and a lot of the prospects that fall in this similar range to him. So that's why, you know, I wanted to put him higher than 19, but I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, he makes absolutely elite contact. I don't think there's any denying that he could hit 300 consistently.
Yep.
But what kind of power does he get to? I don't know. And I think that's the biggest question mark that we see. I mean, we're looking at ISOs that, I mean, his AAA ISO was barely above 100. His major league ISO was 0.058. And yeah, we've seen it be higher in the past. But again, we're looking at 2019 when it was higher in the past.
Right. And, yeah. It's been a bit now.
A small sample of 145 plate appearances in AA in 2021 that it was higher. And at the end of the day, I just can't project him for more than 10 home runs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, where do you have him? I'm kind of in that same range.
Yeah, I mean,
eight to 12.
Yeah, the contact's so good. Like, you look at a 310 home run profile, and you know what kind of value does that provide? And I'm just not sure that's like overly fantasy exciting, I guess. Like, it's good. Like, we'll take the batting average there from a catcher all day, but that hurts when you're falling way behind on, you know, with home runs like that.
Yeah. No, it's just hard to, I mean, if that's what you want and you want some average, yeah, he's fine. And I think right now actually might be a decent time to buy him, because I think people are looking at that power, you know, or the power outage and dropping him a good amount. And I think maybe he's been dropped a little too much. Maybe even we dropped him too far, Chris. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out this year. This could look bad on us in a year. I don't know. We'll see. That's the nature of the game. But, you know, I don't know. He's just so hard. But he could be a good buy low right now, just given the fact that his value is suppressed right now. And he's still got that elite contact, the elite profile. So that gives him at least some safety where, you know, at least you get that from him. So, you know, a couple other fun names here in the kind of the back half. There's a lot of prospects here that we already discussed. But, you know, a couple I want to get your take on. You know, two names in particular, Kiber Ruiz and Luis Campizano. I still get a lot of questions asked about those two because, you know, former top prospect status. Oh, they're still prospects technically, but, you know, I know Campizano still is. Or did he graduate too? I don't know.
He graduated like on service time, I think.
Okay, but so what I was saying, former top prospect status, you know, they kind of haven't worked out at the major league level. Campizano hasn't really been given a shot yet. So they're kind of, you know, they've been consistently falling down rankings. Do you see any hope there? Like, do you have any interest in buying low on either of these two right now? It doesn't sound like a resounding yes.
No, we see so many catching prospects just like bust and fall off. And like when teams just aren't willing to invest in them, like, and make them a guy, like that's my concern ultimately. And I'll tell you, I'm honestly really afraid this is going to happen with Hunter Diaz. Like, as much as I like him, they want to go out and find a backup to pair with Martin Maldonado, which to me, like, they've got that guy right there in Hunter Diaz, who hits the ball extremely hard. He makes good contact. And, like, I'm just not sure, like, why the team isn't willing to invest in him.
Right.
And that, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough spot, but I think catcher's like a position where a lot of these guys may be available, like as they fall off, they may be available on like your waiver wire. It's just like, I'm honestly just like looking to pick up the next catcher that kind of pops up on radars, like rather than trading for a catcher per se. So that's kind of more my strategy there of like what I'm looking to do. But man, it's kind of funny to see like how far these values have fallen on some of these catchers in like the last year. Like Kiber Ruiz probably would have been like top 10 last year. I think we did.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Or at least close to it. If you had to buy low on one right now, who would you rather have, Kiber Ruiz or Campizano?
I'd probably rather bet on Ruiz just because I think he's going to get plate appearances regularly.
Yeah. I think it's very, you know, maybe not overly telling, but I think it's at least like, why haven't the Padres given Campizano a shot yet? You know, does Austin Nola have like, you know, compromising pictures of AJ Preller or something? Or I don't know, or someone in the front office. I don't know. You know, no, it's not terrible. I shouldn't say that. But it's just weird that he, given what he did in the minor leagues and his top prospect status, that he hasn't really been given a chance to, you know, at least be, you know, show what he can do. So, yeah, I do lean Ruiz just because, you know, and this is really no threat to his playing time right now. You know, they don't have anybody else on the roster. They're in a rebuild, so they're going to give him time to see if he can right the ship here. And he's shown that he has, you know, he's shown some solid offensive potential. We'll see. I'm not the highest on him. I think maybe we went a little overboard with what he did last, or 2021, I should say. But I think if I had to buy low on one, I would go Ruiz as well. That is going to wrap up our dynasty prospect rankings for this position, the fun catcher position. We will be back in a couple of days it'll be next week. We're holding the first base episode until next week just because, you know, we usually record on Sunday and that's Christmas. So we don't really want to record on Christmas. We love doing this, but not on Christmas. So we will have first base come out early next week. So check back in for that. You can follow us on Twitter, Chris at Roto Clegg. I'm at Eric Cross 04 and our show's at Fantrax Toolshed. Check out our written work at Fantrax HQ on our Patreon or Pitcher List for Chris and FTN Fantasy for me. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
And
Asbury, Methodist Village, and Montgomery County take senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal Opportunity Housing Provider.